The views and opinions expressed in the following paid program are not necessarily those of the radio station and its sponsors and should not be construed as legal investment or tax advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decision.
Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker, Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to my new show on Money 105.5 FM called Money 2.0. My name is Andrew Rogerson and I'll be hosting the new show each Tuesday at 10 o'clock for an hour. The focus of the show is for small business owners. That can include people that are looking to start a new business, looking to buy a franchise, or looking to buy an existing business. And it also includes those that are thinking of getting out, those that have done their hard work and they're looking to sell their business. That's particularly what I focus on, helping small business owners sell their business. So who is Andrew Rogerson? I'm a certified business broker. To become a certified business broker, I have a real estate license. I'm certified by the California Association of Business Brokers and also certified through the International Business Brokers Association. What does a business broker do? Well, a business broker is licensed to sell real estate, but my focus is primarily on a
money
business.
Experts. Every morning at...
I could sell residential property, but I leave that to residential real estate agents. I could sell commercial property, but I leave that to commercial real estate agents. I could provide mortgages, but I don't do that either. My focus is purely helping somebody through the complicated process of buying or selling a business, and for those that are thinking of buying a franchise, that's the primary work I do. So my help includes business valuations, arranging finance through SBA loans, working with the landlord to transition out the owner of the business to a new owner. I work with the franchisor if the franchise is part of what the seller is selling. I work with the escrow company to coordinate the closing. I work with attorneys, CPAs, and the accountants in the transactions, so it all comes together. So what brought me to become a certified business broker? Well, I've owned and operated 5 businesses. I have a funny accent from Australia originally, where I had my first business. And my first business was a retail travel agency in a small country town called Wodonga. And that's just on the Victorian border near New South Wales. And I'm guessing most people have no clue what area I'm talking about, but that's okay. I came to the US in 1987 under a visa with the New Zealand government. I actually came in as a diplomat and I worked in LA for a couple of years and brought my wife and 2 young children. And we stayed in LA for a couple of years, found that pretty tough. So we went back to Australia and we ran my second business, which was a retail office equipment business, selling office furniture, office equipment and office supplies. But when we returned back to Australia, I was missing California and decided to come back. And we came back in 1995 and moved back and bought a business in Los Angeles and had that for 2 years. And the business was a wholesale travel company. So my business had 20 employees. I was helping Americans travel down to the South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, Fiji and Tahiti. And I decided to sell that business, because I could see the internet coming in and making a change. So I was seeing what technology was doing to industry and decided it was a good time to sell, because I had somebody that was wanting to buy the business from me. It was a great business. I thoroughly enjoyed that business. Had over $10 million in gross sales. But I could see the industry changing and saw a need to change and adapt with the business. So we sold the business in LA and moved up to Sacramento, where my wife bought an executive suite business, which I helped her run. And while she was running that business, I worked at Hewlett Packard and spent 5 years working at HP, because I could see the importance of technology. I could see that technology was just creeping into so many businesses and making so many changes. And this is back in 2001, so it's I'm going back more than 11 years now. So as a small business guy that's worked in technology, I see it's important. And one of the things I'm seeing for small business guys, the challenge of understanding technology and how to bring it into their business. And it's something I particularly enjoy doing, because I see great value in technology and harnessing its use. It just makes a business so much stronger and so much more competitive. So So I left HP in 2006 and became a business broker. So I've now been a business broker for 6.5 years, and during that time, I guess I've helped probably 45-50 business buyers and sellers in that time, and it's been a great experience. The recession, the great financial crisis, has been tough, but that's just part of the capitalist system, and you have to learn to cope with it. I'm also an author. I've written 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, Successfully Buy Your Business, and of course, Successfully Sell Your Business. As I mentioned before, I have a funny accent, and I like to get that out up front. My accent's from Australia. I'm not British. I'm not a New Zealander. I'm an Australian, and a little bit of pride attached to that, but I put it out there. And this morning, coming to the station, I made sure I wore my necktie with the Australian kangaroo on it, just to give me a bit of confidence. So that's who I am, Andrew Rogerson. I have a website. You're welcome to look at my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. There's a whole bunch of information on there about buying, selling a business, and all the steps involved in doing that. So if you have time and want to learn some more, there's a bunch of information on my website, because that's the approach I take. I see my role as being the business broker, helping to explain things to my clients. It's a confusing process if you haven't bought or sold a business before. So part of my approach is to educate. My website has a bunch of information that's for free. So I'd encourage you to look on there if entering business ownership or getting out of business ownership is something that you're thinking of doing. If you want to find me, I'm on LinkedIn. You've got a profile, Andrew Rogerson on LinkedIn. Or if you want to simply Google my name, Andrew Rogerson Carmichael, which is where I live, or Andrew Rogerson Sacramento, you'll get a whole bunch of hits if you do a Google search. And I'm also on Facebook. So if you want to track me down on Facebook, that would be fine. So a good question you should have at this time is, what should I expect from a business broker? And that's a good question to ask. So here's some thoughts to give you. The most important piece to me, and the most important role I play as a business broker, is trust and ethics. If you're not comfortable working with the business broker and what they're doing, you need to find somebody else, because that's the number one thing that you should expect from your business broker. They're here to represent you. They're here to give you honest advice. They're not there to make your decisions. They're here to let you do all that. But they're here to disclose things to you, make sure you're aware of the risks. If they don't have the expertise to advise you, because a business broker is an attorney, they're not a CPA, we would refer you to qualified professionals. So that's the number one thing you need to look for in a business broker is trust and ethics. Number two thing is, in California, you're required to have a real estate license. It is a state government requirement. If you're selling personal property in California, which a small business is a personal property, I'm required to have a real estate license, and therefore I fall under the jurisdiction of the Department of Real Estate. If you want to check and see if the real estate broker has a license, you're welcome to go to the Department of Real Estate website, where you can actually look up their license and make sure they're qualified. Third thing you want to look for in a good business broker is somebody that does specialization. Again, not being critical of those that do residential real estate sales or commercial real estates, but it's a different transaction. So my specialization is just purely helping those get in and out of business, because there's so many moving parts involved. Another thing I look for, I'd suggest you look for in a good business broker, is somebody that's actually had small business experience. I've had five businesses, and just the experience of running a small business is totally different to anything else. And so having that experience of owned a small business, I can relate to business owners and what they're going through. So I think that's important. I have accreditations. I mentioned before, I'm certified by the California Association of Business Brokers, and I'm certified through the International Business Broker Association. Probably a critical piece is, which is ironic, is somebody that communicates clearly. Here I am on my radio station trying to communicate as best I can, so hopefully you're understanding me, but good communication skills are critical to a successful relationship with your business broker. And an equally important requirement is a business broker that has a network of professionals. I just closed a transaction at the end of the year that involved me introducing to the buyers and sellers at different times an attorney to help the sellers, a CPA who helped the buyer secure his 401 retirement money to help buy the business, to use it as a down payment. I was able to research SBA lenders to help get the transaction approved. And I actually had to go to 8 SBA lenders to finally get the deal done. So I had the relationships with lenders to go to try and get that done. So having those sorts of relationships just helps the buyer and the seller through the transaction. So a network of good professionals is important. Probably the most important thing also is testimonials. I have testimonials on my website because I ask for people that have worked with me to look at those things. So if you're looking for testimonials, that's important to look for. We're moving into a break, so let's take a break and we'll come back. And it's Andrew Rogerson on Money 105.5.
Hello, I'm Mo Ansari, host of Market Wrap and president of Compaq Asset Management. At Compaq, we believe in the holistic approach to wealth management, which means that in addition to investing your money, we work with you to establish your short and long-term financial goals to live comfortably now and throughout your retirement. For all the clients we serve, none of them have the same financial resources, risk appetites, and goals. Therefore, we customize a plan for every individual we work with. We also know that your needs and wants will change over time, so we stay in close communication to ensure that your investments and financial plans change with you. If you're looking for this kind of service, call me at 1-800-388-9700 and let's talk about your financial goals and the holistic approach to wealth management. Call 1-800-388-9700. That's 1-800-388-9700.
Compaq Asset Management is a registered investment advisor, funds custodian, Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Your market news all day and all night. Sacramento's new Money 105.5 at money1055.biz.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Good morning. Welcome back to my new show on Money 105.5 FM called Money 2.0. And glad to have you listening with us. Just introducing who I was as a certified business broker. And part of my program, each week we'll have a guest. I'm looking to bring guests on board that can share ideas to help small business owners. And so I have a guest this morning, and I'd like to introduce to you a young lady I've met that I picked up from networking and who's been a great help to me personally, and her name's Mon Hart. Good morning, Mon.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you for inviting me to be on the show.
I'm delighted to have you here, and the reason that I invited Mon to come on board was because Mon has a particular focus, and it's about marketing. She actually calls herself the marketing coach. And I thought, for me as a business broker starting a brand new show, there'd be nothing better than have somebody come on board to talk about marketing. So that was the idea of having Mon come on board. I met Mon at the Sacramento Chamber of Commerce probably about 4 years or so ago, and she had some great marketing tips for the members at the Sac Metro Chamber, and I was impressed with Mon's knowledge. So. So Mon, let's just introduce to you a little bit to the audience. Perhaps you can tell me, how did you learn to become a marketing coach?
Great question. Thanks for asking. Well, it started back about 25 years ago, and it really started by accident. I was a marketing director for Sierra Vista Hospital. And so what would happen is a new medical director would be invited to join the staff from out of state, perhaps Tennessee. And the goal of any medical director was to be able to establish a private practice as a psychiatrist. And so as the marketing director for Sierra Vista Hospital, it was my responsibility to coach that psychiatrist on how to build a private practice. And so that's how the marketing coach was born 25 years ago.
And so I see part of your credentials, you have an MBA. So to have an MBA is no small feat. What else did you do to learn to become a marketing coach? What are some of the things you've done to learn your marketing skills?
Absolutely. So you're right. I did earn an executive MBA and with an emphasis in marketing. And I would say that with all the academic learning that we go through, there is nothing more practical and real than boots on the ground out there learning real world practical application of skills. And so I would say that that started when I was a young child, and I would spend time in my father's real estate office greeting people, connecting with people, and that was the beginning of really teaching me the basic foundational piece of marketing, and that is building relationships with others.
So I think you've segued into my next question, which was to have you define marketing. I think you may have touched on it, but how would you define define marketing for us?
Marketing, so many times people confuse the term of marketing as sales or some other explanation. Marketing, if you can just picture for a moment, think about an umbrella, and under that umbrella, you have, to keep the umbrella open, you have so many different aspects of marketing. And so marketing is any method to attract new customers and clients, retain them, and generate referrals. So for example, one aspect of marketing is that reach over the internet, through LinkedIn, through a website, through direct mail, through advertising. Marketing is an example of being on the radio and being able to get that message out to make a difference and create good for business owners. The other definition of marketing is personal selling, consultative relationship building. So every aspect of getting your message out about your brand is how marketing is defined.
So I love the visual you gave me. We're talking about the umbrella. That was I was able to visualize that and see how that played into what you were describing. So that was really great. So how do I get more customers and referrals? What are some of the strategies I should be using to do that?
That is absolutely a great question, because everywhere I go, people say, "Mon, can you show me how to get more customers and clients?" And I will say, "Yes, of course. However, may I invite us back to the basics of identifying how to attract customers and clients, and that is being very, very clear about the demographic, psychographic profile of the most ideal customer or client that you would want to do business with that could benefit from your product or service." So it really goes back to doing some basic market research to identify who can benefit from your products and services.
And what I'm picking up, which I think is really important to me as a small business owner, I think what you're leading into is that you identify the strengths of the business owner. So once you understand their strengths, then you tap into their strengths and make them stronger by using different marketing techniques based on their strengths and what they're about. Does that make sense?
That is one aspect of it. Certainly as an entrepreneur or a small business owner, There's something that is referred to as SWOT: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So strengths and weaknesses represent you as an entrepreneur. What are those strengths and skills and talents that you bring to the world? Keeping in mind, what are those gaps or areas that you need to shore up that we refer to as weaknesses? In identifying what we've come here to be, that really comes through your mission, which talks about what you want to give to the world, how you want to make a difference with your strengths, with your talents, and your skills. However, that is only one aspect. It's so important to find out, is there anyone out there in the world who wants your strengths and your talents that you will deliver through products and services? So that's where the market research comes in place. And so the other piece of SWOT, opportunities and threats, that represents the external. What's that competition? Where are the opportunities? Where are the gaps? Or where is there a gap in the market that you could claim to be something that you could deliver your products and services?
And so one of the techniques that I've learned from you and seen you do so effectively is getting out and networking, because to me that's one of the strengths of Monhard is your ability to get out there and connect with people and break things down and understand what they're trying to do. So talk to me in simple terms about networking versus prospecting. What's the difference there?
That is a great question. So everyone thinks that networking is just going out and doing it, greeting people, making those calls, connecting with people, having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Networking is the art of identifying where you should be networking. So let's go back to this idea of the most ideal demographic profile of the client or customer that you want to get in front of. And so the question becomes, around the art of networking, where are those customers or clients or patients, if you're a physician, where are they hanging out? What organizations do they belong to? Where could you maximize and leverage your time to get a good return on investment if you show up and network with an association? For example, let me give you an example. Andrew, you specialize in helping businesses, succession planning. You also assist them when they've decided that they want to step out of their business to sell their business.
That's right.
And so, Andrew, at this point, you said earlier in the program that you have touched about 45 to 50.
Yep.
Businesses.
That's right.
And so, in your situation, I would ask you, is there a particular industry that you have touched more often than another? For example, have you sold more restaurants? And if you said, yes, Mon, I have, then one of the organizations that I would invite you to network with would be the California Restaurant Association.
Okay.
That's networking. So rather than going out and shooting the gun off and saying, well, I'm going to go here, I'm going to have breakfast here, that sounds like a great idea, it is a laser-focused process of identifying where to go. Prospecting, those are the actual tools and skills that you apply when you're networking in the right place and the right time with the most ideal prospective client, customer, or patient.
Mon, thanks for that. We're actually moving into a break now. I'm Andrew Rogerson on Money 105.5 FM, and Monhart is my guest. We'll be back shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
The U.S. service industry sustained its gain. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Donna Wilson. An industry report suggests the economy continued on a path of moderate growth. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has the story from the First Word desk.
Service industries expanded in January at about the same pace as the prior month. The Institute for Supply Management's non-manufacturing index registered 55.2 last month. Readings above 50 signal expansion. In December, the ISM index reached a 10-month high of 55.7. The employment component in the services report was the strongest in 7 years, echoing other Labor Department data pointing to growth. Last week, the ISM reported its factory index registered a faster pace of growth in January. At the Bloomberg First Word desk, company Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
On Wall Street, stocks are up. The Dow rose 108 points to 13,988. S&P 500 index rose 1% to 1510. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
Looking for an opportunity to find the right school for your son or daughter?
Then make plans now to join Money 105.5 for this year's Education Expo, Saturday, March 2nd at the Sunrise Mall.
Meet the faculty and receive information on dozens of schools all at one time and in one location.
Plus, many of the schools will be offering half-off tuition for a new student. Go online to money1055.com and find all the information for this year's Education Expo at the Sunrise Mall.
March 2nd from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
They called it Linsanity, the crazy rise of a human meteor also known as Jeremy Lin. Early in the 2012 basketball season, for example, Lin popped a last-second tie-breaking three-pointer to beat the Toronto Raptors. His defender expected him to drive. Lin calmly stood and shot. Weeks before, as Lin's short career was fading, a series of player injuries put him back in the game. He played hard, heavy offense, quick to pass and assist. The NBA's first U.S.-born Asian-American revived the New York Knicks. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge, also a basketball fan. When his chance came, an obscure player was ready, and Jeremy Lin responded to the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
This is Mo Ansari, host of Market Wrap and president of Compaq Asset Management, and I'm here to offer you a personal dose of Mo in a whole new way. Now I can meet with you at your convenience no matter where you are in the country. All you need is a computer. With our new online meetings, a free portfolio review, and answers to your financial questions are just a click away. Call 1-800-388-9700 right now and make an appointment for your free online meeting with me, Mo Ansari. Now we can meet at your home, office, or anywhere that's convenient for you. So if you're concerned about your investments or just want a free portfolio review to make sure you're on the right track, call 1-800-388-9700 and schedule your free online meeting anywhere in the country. I'm just a click away. So call right now, 1-800-388-9700. That's 1-800-388-9700.
Compaq Asset Management is a registered investment advisor, funds custodian, Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Andrew Rogerson on Money 105.5 FM, and we're on Money 2.0. And I'm a certified business broker with my guest this morning, Mon Hart. Mon Hart, the marketing coach, and I thank Mon for being here this morning with me. If you have questions about marketing or want more information, a good place to find Mon is on her website. She has her own website, www.themarketingcoach.us. Themarketingcoach.us, not .com, but themarketingcoach.us. You can also find Mon on her LinkedIn page. And if you have questions, you're welcome to give Mon a call. Her phone number here in Sacramento is 916-441-7761. And Mon and I were just talking about marketing and how critical it is for all small businesses. And I had a question for you, Mon. Why is a business and a marketing plan critical to business success? Because I hear that so many times from different marketing and business coaches. Why is a business and marketing plan critical to the success of a business?
Great question. My experience working over the last 25 years, I would say that 80 to 85% of the time, a business owner doesn't have a business plan and a marketing plan. And we know, according to SBA, that 50% of all businesses fail in the first 5 years. We also know that Dun & Bradstreet study states that 90% of successful businesses work with a coach like you, Andrew, and myself around creating a roadmap and a plan for the success of their business. Would you think of going on a trip to Australia if you'd never been there before without a plan, without a travel agent? Probably not. So a business plan, and inside that business plan is wrapped inside a marketing plan. So the business plan is going to give you the direction where you need to go. It's an objective way of really evaluating, should I really start this business or continue to be in this business?
That's great, Mon. So the work you're doing as a marketing coach, the world continues to change and evolve, and I love your analogy about taking a trip down to Australia without a plan. My wife's planning to head down end of next month, and we have to put a plan together. Just even though we've been down to Australia many times, there is work involved in putting a plan together. So your analogy of creating a marketing plan is critical. Do you have any formal steps you take somebody through, or what process, if you're working with someone, would you use to help them create their marketing plan?
Great question. I think that one of the challenges for an entrepreneur or a micro business owner is the minute you mention the word business plan or marketing plan, they just stop in their tracks and they freeze and they say, oh my gosh, I don't have time to do that. It's going to take too long, too many hours. And so my goal is to keep it as simple as possible. So I do have a specific customized formula that I use with small business owners. And it really involves the business owner learning how to fish. So I guide them through the process so that they learn the importance and they take ownership of their own business and business plan. So it's a very simplified process. It doesn't have to go on for 25 pages. It is absolutely critical, and I know, Andrew, you would definitely agree with me. Today, if you're going to go to a venture capitalist or go to a bank to borrow money for your business, you must have a business plan and a marketing plan.
Yep, absolutely critical. The SBA, if they're providing finance to for somebody to buy a business, one of the requirements is the person must put together a business plan. And generally, the business plan is focused on purely the function of the business and how it's performing. But a marketing plan would be a critical piece that would set an entrepreneur up for success. So we're talking with Mon Hart, the marketing coach. And before we came on air, Mon was talking to me about what's happening down in Tracy, in the city of Tracy. And I find this interesting because we're here in Sacramento, we're not quite sure what's happening with the Sacramento Kings. We know that Campbell Soups is leaving the area. We're hearing other companies moving out of the area. But from talking to Mon, in the city of Tracy is kicking butt. They're having Amazon build a new distribution center down there. So I was interested to hear how Mon came in contact with them. Mon, what was success you had there with getting some business with the city of Tracy and what they're doing down there?
Yes. Leon Churchill, who is the most fantastic city manager, has amazing insight and wisdom around creating economic development. So several years ago, they decided to make a commitment in their plan, in their city plan, to create a fund that would support entrepreneurs for growth, economic development. Entrepreneurs that are established a minimum of 12 months to be able to offer them an business accelerator program that would stimulate their business, teach them skills, and would ultimately create new jobs. So my connection with Leon came about a year ago when I was conducting a business economic development business feasibility study that was connected to the University of Pacific and many of the other academic institutions down there, public and private businesses, to really survey to find out what do business owners need. So Leon Churchill was one of the first people to attend my very first focus group, and he invited me to work with him at the City of Tracy. And at this point, what we've done is we've completed a business feasibility study, and I have recommended three that now the mayor and council people will vote on to launch in 2013 to support entrepreneurs to grow their business, go to the next level of success, and create jobs in the City of Tracy.
So that's a fantastic thing, because from my perspective, we keep hearing negative thing about what's not working properly, but there are things that are working. And part of my goal for this program is to focus on things that are working, so entrepreneurs can see how things are working and adapt the mindset that there is positive things happening. And you know, my challenge to the civic leaders in Sacramento is that maybe there is an opportunity that they missed by not reaching out to Amazon to have them create a distribution center here in Sacramento, which is what I'd love to see happen. It's these large corporations with their success stories that allow small business to complement and work with the larger corporations and bring employment and bring job opportunities and obviously bring business to the area. So it's an exciting story what's happening in Tracy, and it just shows that you know things are tough, but there are good things happening, and it's important that we focus on those things. Mon, bring it back to a small business guy. Do you have any suggestions that you'd like to recommend to a small business guy that's putting a marketing plan together? Do you have things that just stand out there as must do's?
I would say this: to save time and money, connect with some sort of a coach, some sort of a business coach. Andrew, myself. There are many, many small businesses that unfortunately are just starting, and they do not have an investment to be able to work with a coach. And so what I do is, Andrew and I are both committed to this, is finding you a resource. So you can certainly tap into your small business development center. As a taxpayer, you have free complimentary coaching through the SBDC right here on Ethan Way. You can go in and they will coach you through and guide you through writing a business and a marketing plan, keeping in mind that it will be very generic, but it will be a starting point. The benefit and the value of working with a specific coach, they understand your industry and they can help you customize it to save time and money to get you in front of the right clients, customers, and patients if you're a physician.
That's great, Mon. The SBDC, great local resource. I also do some volunteer counseling with SCORE, and they're another great resource. I think it's the Corps of Retired Executives, and the SBDC, the SCORE, the SBA support these community services in many ways. So they can be a great resource for people that are looking to learn more and build their strengths as they grow with their business.
One other idea that I'd like to add is this. As an entrepreneur, it is absolutely critical that you create a collaborative partnership with as many people that are really going to create that business success for you. So, Andrew, as we sit here and talk with each other, we know that we're very committed to creating collaborative community partners. And we're also...
You're going to jump in, Mon. We're heading into a break. I'm talking with Mon Hart, the marketing coach. And this is Andrew Rogerson on Money 105.5 FM, Money 2.0.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Hey folks, I'm Baron Larson for Big Mountain Heating and Air, and I'll be hosting a brand new live radio show right here on Money 105.5 every Tuesday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. Check us out. Save some serious money when it comes to your home energy costs. If you've just been told your old broken down furnace isn't worth fixing, don't pay $4,000 or $5,000 for a furnace only when you can get the complete 3-ton heating and air system for only $3,996. That's a brand new 3-ton air conditioner, 60,000 BTU gas furnace, cooling coil, tax, and installation for only $3,996. And if you tune in on Tuesday mornings 8 to 9 at Money 105.5, we'll make you an even better offer if you call in live. We're on the web at BigMountainAir.com. Or call 925-7680. It's bigmountainair.com or 925-7680. Thanks for listening, folks. Remember, Tuesday morning, 8 a.m., right here on Money 105.5.
Cars have been big sellers the last few months, and a survey by Kiplinger finds that there are lots of pretty good new cars selling for $20,000 or less. The magazine gave its top honors to the Hyundai Elantra GT, calling it a really stylish, compact product. The Nissan Sentra and Dodge Dart, they were close behind. So check out all three if you're in a tire-kicking mood. Fruits and vegetables, they're good for you. Everybody knows that. But here's the catch. They have to be clean, especially if they're going to be eaten raw, like in a salad. The feds say lettuce and spinach have been responsible for several of the worst food outbreaks in recent years. So it's important thoroughly wash them. Same goes for fruit, even the parts that aren't eaten, like cantaloupe skin. If you're watching streaming video on Netflix these days, you're not alone. Netflix is now in 1/4 of U.S. homes. That's up from just about zero a few years ago. Amazon and Hulu Plus are close behind. That's good, because as streaming choices increase, consumers may be able to start cutting back on those expensive cable channels.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
We're back at Money 105.5 FM, Money 2.0. I'm Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning is Mon Hart. Mon Hart is the marketing coach. If you want to get some more information about Mon, you can find her on her LinkedIn profile, Mon Hart, H-A-R-T, or you can visit her website, themarketingcoach.us, or if you have a phone, and most people do these days, obviously, give her a call, 916-441-7761. Her phone number, 916-441-7761. Mon Hart, the marketing coach. Mon, before we went to break, you were talking about creating a collaborative environment within your business. Just give me a bit more details on the collaborative approach and how you see that as an important tool for small business owners to learn to use.
Absolutely. So creating collaborative community partners within your network is really looking at where do your products and services provide a solution for other business owners? And are they, for example, let's use an example. I'm a realtor, and I work with a group of handy people who make repairs to the homes that I have listed to sell. And so there's a natural collaborative partner with that whole network of handy people that do the repairs that they could quite easily be able to make a referral to you. They could step into your collaborative community partnership and marketing partnership. And so it goes back to being very clear about networking and where you're going to go to identify where your customers, clients, and patients might be found, but who in their network could naturally connect and be part of your collaborative partnership. So the idea is about giving and serving and being a resource. So even if you're a realtor and you're not, let's say, selling a home for someone, you can still be a resource for another business owner, so that you, when that business owner, helping that business owner, they will think of you when they need to list a home or send you a prospective buyer.
Well, that's great. That's that. That really shows the importance of collaboration and making that just a part and parcel of who you are, and making it what I call a reflex action. We don't have to think about it; you just do it, and it creates a win-win-win, and that's a tremendous thing. You were talking earlier about identifying who you are with your clients and their value, and I just wanted to come back to that because I thought that was a critical piece that you were talking about. Just talk to me a little bit more about the value in identifying who your clients are and what they bring to you as a business owner.
Absolutely. So it really goes back to this. Many times people are busy reaching out looking for new customers and clients. And so what happens is we miss the most obvious, the gold mine that's sitting there in our client customer database. And what that means is this. My question for you is, when was the last time you conducted a client customer satisfaction survey? Most of my clients will say, well, I've never done that, or I did that 5 years ago. And so what happens, I'm working with a client right now that has never, it's a catering business, has never conducted a client satisfaction survey. So the benefit and the value is they're already customers or clients because they're corporate. It's the benefit and the value for you is to be able to go back into that client database and find out what are they thinking about you, how satisfied are they with your food services, and also being able to identify upcoming catering opportunities instead of waiting for them to call you. The other area to look at is to be able to ask them for referrals. Who do you know, like yourself, because we've really enjoyed working with you, and you are one of our loyal clients. Who else do you know like yourself, another colleague, that would really appreciate the quality of our food?
So on helping a client conduct a survey, I couldn't agree with you more. So many small business owners work in a vacuum where they think they're doing a great job, but they really don't have any tangible information to confirm or any information to tweak their marketing plan. So helping somebody put together a client survey and partnering with them to do that, that's obviously a service that you feel very comfortable with and help?
Very comfortable. And the benefit and the value that I can bring to you is it's very customized for your business. So it also helps you identify what is your brand image and presence out there. Are you communicating your brand promise? And a brand promise is, are you giving them what they want if you're a caterer, through that solution of food and ambiance and creating and complementing whatever event they need the food for.
So just a simple marketing task of doing a client survey touches the brand and the image, and that's a critical component of the business.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, my guest today has been Mon Hart, the marketing coach. We're heading up to 11 o'clock and closing the show. So I'd like to thank Mon for being my first guest on the radio show with me. And it's been a privilege to have Mon come on board and share some things with her. I've personally worked with Mon, so feel very blessed to have had that opportunity. And Mon, I thank you for being part of the first radio show that Andrew Rogerson's done on Money 105.5 FM.
I'm grateful. Thank you.
So we're just moving into a wrap, and I'd like to thank you for listening today. Thank you for joining me at 10 o'clock on a Tuesdays. My plan is to do this for at least the next 13 weeks and see how things go. So the format of the show will be a guest format, and if time allows, we'll open up and take calls. So if we can help some small business people, that'll be part of the program's format as well. It's still evolving, but it's been a great experience for me to come on radio and conduct my first radio show. Again, my name's Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker. If you'd like some more information about me, you can go to my website, rogersonbusinessservices.com. Again, plenty of information on the website that's for free. There's about just over 200 blogs I've written about different topics around buying a business, selling a business, buying a franchise, or starting a business. So you're welcome to go to my website, which is also has a page dedicated for the blogs, and you'll see articles there about finance and all sorts of topics. So please use the information there. It's all free and gives you a bit of background on who I am and what I'm about and how I approach the work I do as a business broker. If you're looking to find my profile, it's on LinkedIn. Andrew Rogerson, R-O-G-E-R-S-O-N is my last name, Andrew Rogerson. Again, if you want to do a Google search, you're welcome to go on Google and just put in Andrew Rogerson Carmichael, or put in Andrew Rogerson Sacramento, and all sorts of information will pop up with the articles I've written and the website I built. So I thank you for being part of the first show. If you're looking to get more information, I have written four books. The four books I've written, the first one is Successfully Start Your Business, and that's for somebody that has the energy and entrepreneurship to be a new business owner. If you're thinking starting a business isn't for you, then buying an existing business may be an opportunity. So that's something to look at. The third opportunity is to buy a franchise. So Successfully Buy a Franchise, that's the third book I've written. And each of these books are between 148 and 160 pages. So it took me 2 years to put put all these books together. But if you go to my website, the books are available on my website. You can buy them there. They're $19.95 each. You can download them off the website. Just use your credit card. I've got a connection to PayPal where you can pay for the books and download them as a PDF. If you want to, you can get them from Amazon. They're available on Amazon. They're available in different formats. I've got them on Barnes & Noble. They're available on the iTunes Store for those with an iPad. All sorts of options for getting them. But if you go to my website, you'll see there's a page on each book, and it gives you more information. So the information's there and available. And again, I'm Andrew Rogerson. This is the Money 105.5 FM. And I'm on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock. And I thank you for being a listener to my show. We'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.